Thanks for joining us today on Mormon Land, where we explore news in and about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm managing editor Dave Noyce. I oversee the Salt Lake Tribune's faith coverage. I'm joined by senior religion reporter Peggy Fletcher Stack. Hello, Peggy.
Hi, Dave.
We remind our listeners about another way to support Mormon Land. Just go to patreon.com, where with a donation as little as $3 a month, you can access transcripts to our podcasts, our complete newsletter, all of our exclusive religion coverage. Again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/Mormonland. Now for today's show. Many devout Latter-day Saints don't, or at least think they shouldn't, watch R-rated movies. This belief has permeated their religious culture for decades. And while top leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have warned about such films, there has never been a general proscription against viewing them. In fact, a popular Latter-day Saint blogger recently argued that some R-rated and TVMA productions are worth watching, listing titles from Saving Private Ryan and Marriage Story to The Passion of the Christ and Good Will Hunting. He stated that swearing off such movies can lead to, quote, consuming disproportionately infantile content, end quote. So where did this supposed blanket ban on such films come from? Does it still have the same hold on Latter-day Saint culture today? And are there movies that adult members not only could watch without any guilt, but indeed should watch? David Scott, a communication professor at Utah Valley University and an expert on Mormon culture and media and their intersection with religiosity, joins us today via Zoom from Orem to discuss those questions and more. Professor Scott, welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks for talking with me today.
Yeah, Dave, can you briefly trace the roots of where this R-rated, quote, movie ban came from within Latter-day Saint culture?
Yeah, I think it comes from a couple of sources. The first of all was when the Motion Picture Association created the R rating, it was soon thereafter that LDS leaders began giving talks at General Conference, prescribing and saying that, you know, they were a bad idea. Prior to that, church leaders usually focused on content rather than a rules-based sort of rating. And then, of course, they also added it to the curriculum for the youth, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, young people who are under 17 probably shouldn't always see R-rated movies.
Well, what year was that, Dave? When was it created?
I know that the R-rating came out in 1968. And then the PG-13 came out in 1984. So, it was, in the late 60s, early 70s when that changed.
And of course, our rating, was supposed to be not being able to go if you're underage, unless with an adult, right?
Or exactly.
Kind of consent. Yeah. So, and I think President Benson like mentioned this to young men once in a general conference. Is that correct?
Oh, there have been a lot of conference talks about R-rated movies.
Let me ask you now, we'll kind of jump to now pretty quickly. So does it still have the same pervasiveness today in the culture?
I think it's interesting that the students that I teach here at UVU, a lot of them are Latter-day Saints and they teach a class on Mormon culture. I think they're more resistant to the ratings discourse from the past, but many of them tell me their parents still adhere to it and focus on it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. So why did the church give over content control, that kind of control, to some outside arbiter?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think I've tried to understand this for some time now, and I think in part it's that some people prefer a rules-based approach, right? Some people like it black and white, and they want to know what is kosher and what is taboo. And church leaders, some of them at least, were more than happy to make that delineation and make it easier for people to make that decision, at least those who want the church to make that decision for them.
But in some ways, it was idiosyncratic. You know what I mean? It wasn't... The arbiters chose certain things to give a rating to.
Yeah.
And not, you know, and I guess filmmakers lobbied for certain ratings and stuff. So all of that, the church leaders gave those, that control to folks that didn't necessarily share LDS values, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the people who I've interviewed who chose to watch R-rated movies, that was one of their primary arguments, was we're not going to let the Motion Picture Association tell us what we can or can't watch. So they would actually note its arbitrariness. The other problem with using that rating system is that it's American-centric. So I interviewed people in Australia, and they said, well, of course we don't see R-rated movies, but R-rated movies in Australia would be the equivalent of an X-rated movie in the United States. So the standard was also very, you know, narrow in terms of who it applied to.
Mm-hmm. And how many times do you hear people say, they'll watch, say, a PG-13, which you referred to, and say, wow, I can't believe that wasn't R-rated, or vice versa sometimes, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, some people have pushed back even against PG-13. I remember a woman I interviewed once who said Heaven is G-rated. So that, right, if you want to go to heaven, you have to watch G-rated movies.
Yeah. Gosh, I hope Heaven is not G-rated. Okay, so the rating system seemed, as I said, it was somewhat idiosyncratic and arbitrary, but it seemed to focus more on sexual issues than on violence. Why do you think Latter-day Saints seem to be okay with extraordinary levels of violence, even gratuitous violence, while trying to avoid watching any nudity or sexual intimacy? That always just struck me, has always struck me as such a contradiction. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that reflects the broader culture in the United States, which is fearful of nudity, more kind of provincial in its approach to human sexuality, right? Whereas violence is everywhere in American entertainment. The first study I did at BYU, and I'm just going to allude to this, and you can include it if you want or not. But the first study I did of BYU students about R ratings in the 1990s, there were three groups that came out in the analysis. And one were the people I called absolutists who said, you know, the leaders tell us don't see R-rated movies, and so I won't see them. And the second group were those who were more, we call them situationalists, where they would, rather than have a rules-based approach, they would listen to feedback from friends and family members and make decisions based on the overall theme of the film. But my third group, I called them escapists. And those were people who were still really, really rigid about nudity and language, but they were watching all the violent films. And their thought was nudity and sexuality, those things will influence me and harm my spirituality. But violence, that doesn't affect anybody.
So some Latter-day Saints have opted for heavily edited versions of these films. Do you think that's a good option, or does that carry problems as well?
Yeah, I have an ethical concern about about revising copyrighted material without the consent of the people who created it, right? The artists, people that created that, created it the way they did for a reason.
And there have been lawsuits over that too, of course. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And the people doing the editing tended to fail. So, you know, if people on airplanes want to see, or if the producers want to edit it for television and so on, so be it. But I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with people wanting to see a film that's edited. I think it's fascinating though, to ask those folks, the things that are now missing from the film, does that undermine the story or the message of the film? There were those old ads that the church put out in their magazines in the 80s. One of my favorites was the one that showed ice cream, an ice cream sundae with a cockroach in it, right? And it said, it's great except for, and they were alluding to this idea that, right, a film that has anything bad in it whatsoever, anything that's controversial, anything that's inconsistent with Latter-day Saint teachings or beliefs, is therefore inherently bad as a whole. And so that's, you know, that's that rules-based approach, but it ignores the fact that the film taken as a whole might actually have some really valuable elements that include, violence or the portrayal of things that are inconsistent with Latter-day Saint beliefs. And I guess it boils down to this notion that people think that if they're exposed to certain ideas or belief systems, somehow it will undermine their spirituality.
So let's talk about language for a minute. Back in the day, a film like Ordinary People, Robert Redford's directorial debut got an R rating largely for the inclusion of one F word. Uh-huh. Now that language is completely common in movies and TV, when did the concern with language, I guess swear words, not just the F word, but other swear words were kind of forbidden, but now nothing is forbidden. It wouldn't get anybody in. I mean, I've actually shown some movies to my kids that are PG rated that I was shocked at the language in it, in them.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I just watched something with my 12-year-old a couple of days back that was PG-13 and it had the F-bomb in it. I think that, you know, with the shift towards streaming media, with mature-oriented television programming now, you know, the language is just pervasive. It's everywhere. And I think people are becoming less concerned about it, right? It's so out there now that perhaps it's seen as less threatening or it's lost its power to offend.
Is that kind of with all of the different kind of markers you look for in a movie as to why it might get a rating it gets, though? I mean, whether it's language or nudity, sexual intimacy, or violence even. Is there a place for those in movies, though?
Would it be okay if I quoted two students from an interview I did at BYU? Because I think
Absolutely. They
get this issue really well. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the, when I did this study in 1995 of BYU students and their video watching behavior, Schindler's List had come out. And right. BYU wouldn't show it because of the rating. And there was a general authority emeritus who donated money so that every student in Utah, every high school student, could go and watch the movie. And so mm-hmm. this became this big culture battle and debate. It was all over the local media and so on. And this was one of the questions that I posed in this research when I asked students about their whether or not ratings impacted their movie watching behavior. I asked them if they wanted to or had seen Schindler's List and why. And there were two different approaches in terms of that rating issue. And so on the one side, you had the students who were very much rules oriented. I don't see R-rated movies. I'm a Latter-day Saint. It's important to me to follow the edicts of the leaders. And here's an example of how they navigated that notion that Schindler's List was an important movie, but they still weren't going to watch it. This one student wrote, I like entertaining and stimulating movies and prefer them to be clean. However, our world isn't clean and some things need to be present to make the movie realistic. In this case, the rating should not factor in so much when deciding on the movie. It's a historical recreation. Sorry, that was my example of the student who says the rule shouldn't apply, mm-hmm. right? So in order to be historically accurate, sometimes good art is going to include the stuff that might be offensive to some, right? On the other hand, I had another student say, let's see here. I will not watch R-rated movies as fond as I am of watching movies and as much as I enjoy talented artists. By their nature, movies sacrifice realism to symbolism. Schindler's List is trying to create an event realistically instead of artistically. I won't see it because of the rating this realism breaks. So you have these two opposite approaches, right, in terms of how to negotiate the rating system.
Yeah, I was going to ask specifically about Schindler's List, as a matter of fact, because I remember that episode. But I'm thinking of movies like Schindler's List. If you're viewing a movie about the Holocaust and it doesn't show, you know, Jewish people being killed, you risk sanitizing a genocide. Correct? I mean that seems problematic, in other words, if you try not to depict that and sanitize it in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the student who made the comment that in order to be realistic, you have to include objectionable material. I think that's a really strong argument. Sometimes the pain that being exposed to those ideas causes in some ways, I think, strengthens the argument. It makes it more powerful. It right? If you sanitize the Holocaust, perhaps that would, I don't know, I guess I think you lose something. And that's what certainly Spielberg believed, which is why he wouldn't allow his program to be edited.
Right. And so and this is going to sound like a leading question, and perhaps it is, but I do think it's an important topic and one that blogger brought up. Why might it be unwise for adult Latter-day Saints to limit their viewing to what they to just kite family fare?
Yeah. Well, I think that I think for one thing, I think we need to be culturally literate in order to express our own beliefs, our own ways of seeing and thinking to people who may disagree with us or may have other ways of viewing the world. I think that for some, if we shut ourselves off from too much of what's really out there, especially based on the assumption that mere exposure to ideas or messages will somehow be harmful to one's soul or eternal life, it seems to undermine our ability then to participate, I think, in the broader discourse and with others around us. And I think it leaves us, again, as that one person said, heaven is G-rated, which is a wonderful human being. And I certainly wouldn't judge the human person for seeing the world differently than I see it. But I think that that does cut one off from being able to have maybe a more proactive conversation with others about these sorts of issues.
Well, and the Bible and the Book of Mormon certainly couldn't be considered G-rated, at least by the content.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Especially the Old Testament.
Yes.
I think the ratings issue is more about how people identify how they demarcate the sacred from the secular, right? And that's what churches have always been good at, right? Religions say, this is okay, this is taboo. Even with the word of wisdom, the church says, the word of wisdom covers a lot of things, but nobody's going to get denied a temple recommend if they say, oh, I don't obey the word of wisdom, I eat steak every day. And so that's an influence. That's a cultural influence. That's the outside culture influencing the church. I think if the Latter-day Saint Church were headquartered in London, England, or Milan, or Madrid, I think that the violence would be the thing they'd be more worried about versus nudity and language, because that's the culture. And the Latter-day Saint Church does not operate in a vacuum. It operates in a modern American culture in which there's been this ongoing culture war between popular culture and popular media and people of faith across the United States. And it almost always goes back to sex, nudity, and a little bit to language.
So now I'm going to play the devil's advocate, but today most people watch movies streaming on TV, which you mentioned, rather than the movie theater, and where really ratings hardly apply or don't apply, or you're kind of on your own and anything goes. How would you see the church helping members make decisions about what to watch and how involved to be in it? Honestly, it just comes right into your living room or whatever on your TV. Plenty of things that would in the past have been considered porn or just right out there. How can Latter-day Saints navigate this brave new world?
Yeah, that is a tough question. And I think it requires more thoughtfulness than merely following an R-rated rule, right? The world has changed. It requires some media literacy, I think, and it requires balancing one's own values with those that are espoused in the media. In my own experience, I've raised two daughters and I have a 12-year-old boy now. And I use those moments where there may be something in mainstream, especially streaming content, that's unexpected or that I think, I really wish he hadn't heard that or seen that. I usually use that as an opportunity to talk about how what our values are as a family and how those values aren't necessarily expressed or believed by others. And so for me, it's an opportunity to talk about those values rather than to rely on the Motion Picture Association to make that decision for me.
Hey, David,
you can also just turn it off, which is different than if you paid money and went to a theater, you'd have to walk out or something. Whereas if it's streaming, you can just say, yeah, this is, if you see something or it's going in a direction you'd rather your family not see, you can just turn off the TV. That's a different phenomenon.
And it's less bold to turn it off than to walk out in the middle of a theater.
Oh,
right?
Yes. So, yes, it is. Yes.
It takes easier, a lot more much courage, easier. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I just flip over to the Cubs game. So anyway, I have a question. How closely do the CyTV 14 TVMA ratings compare to the traditional Motion Picture Association ratings? Is there any comparison? Do you know?
I don't see the overlap based on my own interactions with content. I think, for example, so much streaming content now is mature rated, right? Which
exactly,
which is probably would probably be R rated most of the time, but not always. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's cable programming that is rated, you know, PG or TV 14. Maybe they'll bleep out a word, but the content is still pretty mature. Programs like, you know, especially comedy programs like South Park, Saturday Night Live, which is, you know, rated as TV-14. They talk about stuff that probably would be rated mature in other contexts. So, luckily for families, and none of them know this, their TVs all have a device on them now, thanks to Congress, that will allow them to block programming directly from their TVs using the chip that's in the television. But I don't even know of any students I've ever talked to that even know it exists. And it's kind of ironic that Congress was pushed during the culture wars in the 90s to add this V chip to televisions to protect children from, you know, adult content. Adults now have an ability to eliminate programming, not just based on rating, but based on the type of content, language or violence or drug use, but nobody does it.
Mm. So I'm going to ask you to become a critic a little bit. And do you have some recommendations for adult material, you know, like R-rated movies that you think Latter-day Saints, you know, not only can watch, but maybe should watch? Because it's you know, I'm not sure how comfortable you are with that, but yeah, are there some titles you think? You know,
Absolutely. Schindler's List is the top of my list. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important film that was ever produced. Mm-hmm. And it's ironic that the value of Schindler's List is not just that it tells us something about the Holocaust, but it shows us that there's a human being, Schindler, who is very imperfect. He's an adulterer, a philanderer, and greedy. And yet he, through his interaction with the Jewish people and what was happening in the Holocaust, became a savior, became a hero. To me, that's an important story. That is an important lesson. It's not just how horrible the Holocaust was, but it's that a human being who is very imperfect, very flawed, can do amazing, marvelous, good works, good things in this world. And I think that's a message that all people of faith should see. So that's one reason why I believe Schindler's List was so important, and I think why many general authorities at the time, or at least a few, even supported it. So that would be top of my list.
Are there any others?
Well, let me think for a second. Let's see how many movies I've been outing myself on.
What about something like Saving Private Ryan, about the D-Day invasion? And
yeah, I think Saving Private Ryan was an excellent film. Mm-hmm. I don't think it came close to Schindler's List, but I think it had overall a good message. It was, I think that it's funny. It's mostly the war movies, right? They Shall Not Grow Old, that documentary film from World War One, very real film footage of soldiers dying and being brutally killed. I showed that to my 12-year-old. I thought that was important. He see that film.
The blogger mentioned Goodwill Hunting, which is not really violent, but has other elements, mainly language. Yes. About that? A film like that?
Yeah, I think if Goodwill Hunting came out today, it would probably be PG-13, if I remember correctly. I don't recall if it came out before the PG-13 or not. But, you know, like, you know, I've been enculturated to be less offended by language as well, right? This is because I live in this same culture. So it doesn't bother me for my 12-year-old to be exposed to foul language. That's an easy thing to explain away and talk about in the house. My concern about things like human sexuality and nudity are not that I think they're inherently bad. He's just not old enough to grasp it yet, right? He's still a child. Mm-hmm. But when he turns 14 or 15 or 16, I would probably be much more okay with other R-rated movies that might be R-rated because of other, you know, elements that are more related to the human sexuality, the human condition. I'm more concerned about the message than the rating. So if there is a film like, if there's a film that talks about, you know, infidelity and demonstrates the detrimental impact of infidelity in marriage and how it harms the marriage, I think that's that's an important message to share with my family. If it's a program that celebrates infidelity and says it's a good idea, even if it's PG-13, I'm not as supportive of that particular message. There have been PG-13 movies or TV-14 programs that I won't let my son watch or didn't let my daughters watch.
What about Godfather?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, well, the first one, yeah, they can all watch that one. But the third one's garbage.
They're pretty violent.
I think The Godfather would be okay. Yeah. Language and violence. Yeah. But consequences, right? As well. So, it's funny. I'm thinking about right now, I've been on this war movie thing, the Vietnam War, where he goes based on Heart of Darkness.
Platoon. Apocalypse.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now. Apocalypse Now, I think. Right, is a film that is an amazing film, you know, people should watch it. There were so many films in the early R-rated films that were good and comprehensive. I just think it's remarkable that R-rated movies really, really, really were taboo for quite some time. And the person that you cited at the beginning of this podcast, he makes a valid point, but I think he ignores the fact that there were early leaders that literally made very strong claims about why R-rated movies were inherently bad. I think Elder Berg Peterson, he was emeritus general authority. He said they were produced by satanic influences, for example. Mm. That's pretty hardcore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, President Benson, he once said that, you know, people shouldn't see them at all because they're, you know, harmful. And I guess you guys probably know this, but the Deseret News wouldn't even advertise R-rated movies, correct, you know, in the 1970s. So,
right.
I mean, that's sending a pretty big message, right, to that generation.
So, Dave, last question. We kind of covered it a little bit, but what would you advise Latter-day Saint families today in how to make movie and TV choices to kind of strike the balance between being open to realistic depictions of important ideas versus things that are harmful.
I think the best way to approach contemporary media, given the streaming, all the sources, all the things that are out there now that are hard to follow, is to seek feedback. To look at if there are particular things you don't want your children to be exposed to, and certainly as a parent, different parents have different values about what's okay for their kids based on their kids' own development or their own background. You know, look up the parental guide, talk to other people who have watched the movies. The thing that troubles me the most is when people assume that the content is inherently harmful to them, and yet have no exposure to the content or don't even know fully what it's about, just because a person in some position of power or influence has told them, don't do it. I can't begin to tell you how many parents told me in the 1990s that they wouldn't allow their children to watch The Simpsons at the time. And I asked almost all of them, when I asked them if they had ever watched The Simpsons, they almost always said no, they'd never seen it. And so they're making these very big, grand decisions about people's media consumption with absolutely no idea what they're prohibiting in the first place. And I think that is something we need to overcome. I think we should be less afraid of exposing ourselves to different ideas and allow, again, talk to other people, look up why these programs might get certain ratings, what's there, watch them ourselves first and then decide, but make informed decisions rather than, I think, than this kind of fear of the content in and of itself. I think that undermines growth a little bit, because we can grow also by exposing ourselves to something we disagree with and saying, you know what, I watched that and I didn't like it, and here's why. But I'm still a believer. These things are still valuable to me, and you know, it hasn't changed me. I'm still who I am.
David Scott, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And be well, okay?
I will do my best.
And thanks to Peggy Fletcher Stack.
Always a pleasure.
And to our producer, Nicole Weaver. We remind you that you can keep up on all the happenings in and about the church by subscribing to the Salt Lake Tribune's free Mormonland newsletter. Just go to sltrib.com to sign up, and we'll talk again next time on Mormonland.